I'm positive they don't. They're not arbitrary. They counsel us. And if we want to do something that isn't the best but not harmful, then let us find out for ourselves. Satisfy ourselves.
Well, he said the same thing about teaching in Sweden, if he had the opportunity and chance. He said he didn't know whether he would be a good teacher. I said the only way you would find out is to try it.
Sure.
And see. But you shouldn't take away from yourself the thought and the inspiration that you might be.
That's right.
In the thought of helpfulness to other people. And I think that is true in what you said. You might have some thought entirely that's entirely wrong, but you must try it.
And it's in this sense that we become literally the children of the Supreme. So that, in outer space, we can make the same portraiture of the Supreme Being which Jesus, as a man, made of God the Father when he was here on earth. It'll be just as natural for us. We will be part and parcel of the Supreme.
You said how
big will we be when we become part of it. Is it your idea that we will eventually along the way
see the outline of a physical being as you are now?
Well, first of all, let's consider what a midwayer looks like. Wilma, can you, let's have a little imagination. Take a human being, and now let's dissolve away all the fat and muscular tissue. I want to keep the brain and the nervous system. Here is where a human being really lived, in the brain and nervous system. And a midwayer is a human being minus anything mammalian. So when I try to think of what a secondary midwayer looks like, I think of the equivalent of a brain and nervous system expressed in living electrical patterns. It's alive, so the pattern holds its shape. It resists change, just like an organism resists change. You cut it, and it mends. See? You push this pattern out of shape, and it goes back in shape again, because it's a living pattern. Wilma, that's as far as I can go. I can go to a secondary midwayer because this is a physical reality, just as physical as I am, but not cellular. Electricity is physically real. And now I've already got to something which looks so alien and non-human, I can't take the next step and try and visualize a primary midwayer
yes,
who is spiritual.
Now this nervous system you're talking about, for the midwayer, could be so different than it is for us, because the nervous system has to appear through this body to carry this physical body.
Granted.
The midwayer
granted.
Doesn't have that physical
granted.
Body to carry.
It would be a different configuration, mm-hmm. but it would be the same thing in principle, I think.
It could be tied up in a...
Possibly. Possibly.
Bell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, a finaliter, I think, has a physical, pardon me, a spirit form. Definite form. And if you have the sensory mechanism, you'd perceive the finaliter. I mean, it's just as much as we perceive each other. You say, that's a fun. Well, that's Joe. He's not just a finality. You know him. See, this is Joe. Hiya, Joe. This is Joe the finality.
Well, won't we be able to perceive each other?
Certainly. Certainly.
But that's personality.
And we'll look a lot prettier up there than we do down
here. I said
not that.
I wanted to correct one thing here before we go any farther. I said the magnitude of man. I felt a chill around here. I meant the magnitude of the spiritual value
sure.
of people.
That's what I'm trying to get to, is I can't conceive of what a finaliter is like, much less what a finaliter is going to be like at the end of the evolution of the Master Universe. But he's going to grow through every one of these ages and through every one of these space levels, and this gets to be a pretty tremendous creature. Think of the experiences you make. Think of the skills you've acquired.
You know, we're going to be telling this point that Jesus doesn't look like a man when we see him.
Not when we see him, I don't think we'll be this.
Bill, I'm also glad you brought out here this brain and the nervous system, because I think that a lot of people are wondering a lot what's going to be like. I think that breaks it down.
Well, now, wait a minute. That's not what we're going to be like.
No.
The first
I mean, you're breaking it down here on what you're taking as an example of what we
of something alien in form. I think on the first mansion world, we'll look fairly much like we look down here. Because when Jesus was in Marantia form and was visualized to people, while they didn't always recognize him immediately, they recognized him very quickly. Mary Magdalene didn't recognize Jesus till he spoke her name. And she knew it was Jesus. So was a gardener to begin with. He broke the bread sitting with the two brothers at Emmaus, and then they knew who he was. When he was standing on the shore, they thought he was a fish merchant come down to buy the early catch, so they got closer to it. But he didn't look alien.
Well, we're told that we will be so material on the first match in the world that we can break a leg, so
sure.
We must be going to look similar to
you
now.
Again, Wilma, the fact that they tell us the non-breeders speak by a modified technique. They're still not breathers up there. You know there's an atmosphere. Because if you suddenly made breathers out of them, it would be traumatic to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're non-breathers, and they wake them up as non-breathers. Now, eventually, I think those distinctions tend to disappear.
Disappear.
Yeah.
As we go
closer
in. Cold shock now. Yeah. But Jesus still had the form of a man on his back again.
I think we still have fairly human forms up on Jerusalem. That's not strange, the material is unclear.
Well, it's very possible we will still have human forms when we're from Africa.
I don't think so.
They'll be very ethereal.
I don't think so. I think they'll be very beautiful, but very different from anything that entered our minds.
It's like a bird.
Well, many things in discussion of the spiritual world is recognizing their loved ones, of course.
Sure.
And, of course, it comes about by the growth of us after maybe a loved one has gone,
yeah,
and so forth and so on in the aging process, the growth. But you're speaking about their recognition through the spirit itself.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know. We'll know.
Sure you know.
Here. I recognized a chap on a train. I can't tell you how I did it. Because we last saw each other when we were 7 or 8 years of age. We were in our early 40s then, both of them. And we passed each other. I can still remember I had my hand out to open the door of the Pullman ahead. I turned around and he was standing there with his hand on the doorknob. We were both looking at each other and we grinned foolish. And one of us says, "Do I know you?" And one says, "I don't know who are you." Well, it's Billy Hershey. He lived across the alley from me. We shook hands. I can't tell you what clued the two of us to look at each other. Because good Lord, between 7 years and 40-odd, you don't look the same.
Well, what would be the difference in that? It comes down to spirit of thinking. What would be the difference in that and your answering so many questions here today that I've been thinking about so much of my life?
Because we're both human beings and we would ask the same question.
Well, here the thing will come down.
These are things I want to know.
You've been thinking.
Sure.
With a modified technique being used at all times, you just recognize it.
Possibly. I just say kindred minds.
Well, now, I'll be tight. You will look like a cardinal bird. Aren't they beautiful?
Cardinal
bird. I'll recognize
you.
You know that line. You're positive.
I think this, as we go on, will gradually change. We'll all be changing together. And we'll eventually look like something quite different from people. But each change will be so small, and we'll recognize each change for an improvement. We're better off. We have better equipment. Less fatigue, maybe better perception. We suddenly open up a whole new range of things that we can register on. And I think this is going to be so natural and so normal that we will, it'll just be growth.
You know, Bill, the sad part of it is, that we probably won't catch up with you until you're way out there in outer space, and one day some of the passengers say,
no.
Don't I know you?
You know what'll happen, Wilma? I'll go fine. Until we get somewhere where you have to have mechanical aptitude. And then, you folks will arrive. You'll say, well, who's that fellow that's botching up that repair job on that piece of equipment? He's been here for 3 million years, and he can't seem to get it in the test. And one by one, you'll all pass.
I hope
they
don't want to speak for my
mouth. You and I will be there together.
I'll be all right on
that.
Go ahead and call the
mask
with you.
Because I don't know how to...
That's right. Well, I think this as you look ahead. Well, here, I'll tell you my criteria. When God personalizes the thought of justice, I think He suddenly liberates that thought of justice to function at a level which we will attain someday in the most remote future. Because that thought adjuster doesn't need to go through the evolutionary experience. And yet, that thought adjuster carries all the human values garnered from all the indwelling experiences he's had. Take Jesus the Christ. And don't you know they gave him one of the best, one of the most experienced. This is a humanized divinity. Because all of the human nature is there in that thought adjuster, imparting to that adjuster the salty taste of evolutionary humanity.
Well, that certainly is a relief to me, because there's so many things that I feel as though it would be impossible for me to handle.
I think it'll come very easily. No, not easily.
Well, I don't care if it comes easily.
It'll be a real challenge, but you'll have the stuff to take it.
I'm looking forward.
There's one thing I believe. They will never give us an assignment we can't handle, except for educational reasons. They might let us bump our nose for the good of our ego, but always good will come out of any assignment they give us. If they give me an assignment, I'm going to assume that I've got stuff to take it. But I think the assignments grow as we grow. It wouldn't be fair otherwise, would it? I mean, what fun would it be in high school to get a third grade assignment?
You do it.
You want a high school assignment? No. Well, it wouldn't be third grade performance.
Well, why should I be canceled out if I don't understand?
You won't.
We don't cancel people.
No. I said, you can assume you won't fail. This is not 100% true. Sometimes you fail to find the Father. Sometimes the Son, sometimes the Spirit. This is not a failure in the true sense of the word. This is a delay indicating a need. And what do? They meet the need. They assign you to the super universe which has the maximum corrective education. And then you come back and they tell us there is never a failure the second time. Now it's foolproof. It's not quite foolproof the first time, but it's always foolproof the second time. So that I expect some failures. And you know something? If no one ever failed, it wouldn't be a true adventure, would it?
No.
But we'll go into paradise to try to recognize the three persons of deity one at a time, and we'll have that tremendous stimulus. It's possible to miss. And yet that stimulus will be free of fear. They don't cancel me out if I miss. I get more education if I miss. But you won't go, you'll never be cocky as you might be if no one missed. I can see a great value to the occasional failures there. I think maybe we need that stimulus to make the last hurdle.
Well, what would we do if we didn't have the stimulant of a challenge? We accomplish nothing.
And what happens when we take the last hurdle? When we're sitting on those last two churches in Havona, what do they observe? They observe that we kind of wish we could go back and start it all over again. We're caught in the doldrums. The tremendous lure of the adventure of time has passed, and we haven't yet entered the forward-moving stream of eternity. And this is when you get real reminiscent, you know, like old gappers that want to refight the Civil War. And of course, I think that's nice to have that too, because I'd like to get some sleep at that time. I think we're going to be a little tired after that long ascent. But I think it's very sweet that they put in two real easy circles at the tail end before you meet the challenges of paradise, which is something yet again. Can you imagine being asked out to tea by a transcendentalist? Holy Toledo.
You mean you wouldn't know which
spoon
to pick up?
I don't know absinthe etiquette.
No, he doesn't drink tea.
Yeah.
You don't think they'll follow the bacterium of
Well, there's some real challenges on paradise because they tell us when we get time off, we like to hang out around with the Supernatim because they remind us of the Seraphim. And we kind of feel at home for these people, see? And many of the things on paradise are going to be terribly strange to us.
Well, I think that's what they're saying. We are assigned, especially if we have some relief and some understanding.
Sure we do. This whole thing has been set up by a personal God. He understands personality. He is personality. When you get there, there's always somebody waiting to meet you. And they have a nature which is inherently somewhat like yours. They're Orvantan-like. And what's more, they've looked up your file. Yeah, they know who you are.
I know, but that's a little discouraging.
By that time, well, figure, but now by that time we'll have some good things in there too, you know.
I hope so.
Another thing I like is that this planet has their own section that they didn't give you.
Yeah.
So, to begin with, so that we don't feel like just come head on with other planets here.
Why did I ever show you Paradise Magnitudes? I'm not going to read this because it doesn't read, but I'll try to get a kick out of looking at this. I'll just take it out. No, I won't either. Just flip that thing down, you get a kick out. No, I like this idea of the adventure. You adventure with spiritual security, but no security anywhere else. Lots of intellectual uncertainty. You know it's going to come out because this is your father's house in which you live, this tremendous universe. He's looking for you. He's expecting you. And this doesn't mean, though, that you're going to succeed on this particular assignment. You gotta sweat a little bit. But in the overall, no doubt at all. Uncertainty with security is the whole story, I think, of the ascent to paradise. Uncertainty as to the problems of time. Complete security as to your status in eternity. But you don't know when you're going to get there. You know you will. See, when you fuse with your thought adjuster, and this normally happens pretty early in the career, down, what is it, the fifth mansion world? Spiritually, you've got it made right there. But experientially, intellectually, in every other way, you've got to earn it. But when you fuse with your adjuster, God has found you. It merely remains for you to find him.
There you have to have some cosmic insight before that fusion. You have to learn a lot of cosmic insight.
Yes, you do. But if you want to, Bert, what can stop you?
Nothing.
But remember, what a son desires and the father will is.
But what cosmic insight we can get while we're here.
I'll tell you what this sort of thinking means to me. I understand this life better. I can see this life in better perspective. I expect this life to be fairly rugged. This is full training.
You know why, but
yes. Good expression, book and full training. Yeah. It's a shaking out process. As I've said to the group before, I'm pretty sure if they had an archway over the first mansion world, like an Ellis Island, an entrance, that they'd have two mottos on there. No pantyhose need apply. And we don't want any SOBs either. Now somewhere in between those extremes, I think, is what they're recruiting. They're recruiting tough, loving people. People that are basically tough, but all this toughness is subordinated to love. They're kindly tough people. I would think you hear I read this quite often, but I don't know anything. You just said it, but I don't know anything any more encouraging. What is that on the cover of this?
Oh, this
is
terrific.
Unlimited purpose, progress, and endless life. But the thing I like the best is it's ours to the striving.
Yes.
In that it's striving. The challenge is there, but it's ours. Think of an endless expanding, never ending, ever widening sphere of opportunity.
All we've been doing this afternoon is trying to say, how big are those words?
And we've discovered they're quite big. They're very big.
You see, I can't calculate spiritual growth. There are no words. They're trying to calculate physical size, duration and time. All I can say is, here's the outspread. Spiritual growth takes place all during this span, whatever that may mean. But that's big too.
You said a sense of value growth.
I was in discussing a feeling about time.
Yes.
The more of the past and the future we invest the present moment with, the greater the value of the present moment. We're talking about Rodin talked about the lures of maturity, where he said, don't set cheap goals and quick victories. The mature person subordinates the passing pleasures of the present from the more permanent pleasures, 4 or 5, that go in sequence. It's really all the same story.
Help
Cream Agent. This is Appendix 11. This appendix will not deal with the subject of experiential growth in the post-supreme ages. This is the subject of Appendix 9, the mechanisms of experiential growth, which we take today. It is the purpose of this appendix to attempt to bring together what we are told and what we may conjecture about the post-supreme ages. These are the four ages of the four outer space levels, the outer universes. They are the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth universe ages. The developments of these ages also involve the central universe and the super universes.
the inner universes. For these older creations will be continuing their creative and evolutional development along with the progressions of the new universes in outer space. Section 1, the Grand Universe in the Third Age. It is hard enough to visualize the next universe age, let alone those that follow it. Most of this study will therefore give consideration to possible events in the Third Age. We might begin our survey by considering what is going on in the inner universes before turning our attention to the outer creation. We will start with Havona and work outward. Havona in the Third Age. This is the third time that we have considered the central creation. We have studied pre-evolutionary Havona, Havona in the First Age. Then we considered Havona in the Second Age. This is when the evolutionary process entered the central creation at the time of the arrival of Grand Fanda. Now, what will Havona be like when the Second Age gives way to the Third Age? Consider the following. Page 217, paragraph 8. There are 1 billion sensors in Havona. They are there in anticipation of the needs of future ages. Page 221, paragraph 7. And sometime in the future, Havona natives may stop entering the Finaliter Corps. Page 222, paragraphs 1 to 4. The population of Havona may sometime change. It may include such as the Univitatia, Third Age mortals, and outer space citizens. Page 163, paragraph 3. The central universe has the capacity to serve as an Absonite training universe for future ascenders. We deduce that Havona will change for the second time. The type of evolutionary growth that began with Grand Fanda will end, and some new post-supreme type of growth will begin. Havona will grow anew, and the kind of growth will also be new. What are the universal sensors doing in Havona? These beings personify the judgment of the Paradise Trinity, page 218, paragraph 3. Their present activities hardly account for this assignment, so we must assume that conditions at some future time will develop a need for such deity judgment in Havona. We know that Havona broke through the limitations of inherent perfection in the Second Age through expanding out into the imperfect time-space creation, the seven superuniverses, page 1294, paragraph 13. Will Havona for a second time break through the limitations of growth in the post-supreme ages? If the Second Age brings finite experiential growth to Havona, then will the Third Age bring experiential growth of a superfinite, absonite nature? We incline to the view that this will be the case. Havona will, a second time, rise above the destiny limits inherent in a given situation. The superuniverses in the Third Age. We presume that there is a quiet time between the universe ages that is analogous to the quiet zone between the space levels. Such a quiet time would permit the complete consolidation of the final evolutionary emergence of the Supreme Being. The superuniverses have long been settled in light and life. Consider now what the papers have to say about the Third Age in the supercreation. Page 1293, paragraph 1. Superuniverse citizens may be related to the Supreme Being much as the Havona natives are related to the Paradise Trinity. Page 262, paragraph 5. Will the Grand Universe be generally administered by Trinity origin beings, while their associates of dual and single origin are working in the outer universes? Page 219, paragraph 6. Inspired Trinity spirits will sometime replace solitary messengers in the seven superuniverses. Page 1163, paragraph 12. The status of light and life as a growth limit may be transcended in the next universe age. Page 453, paragraph 3. Outer space citizens will be traversing Arvantan on their way into Havona and Paradise. Sun-fused and spirit-fused mortals will be providing an experiential balance of values that is carried forward from the Second Age. To the outer spacers, Arvantan will be as new and strange as is Havona to the pilgrims of the present age. The superuniverses will attain the settled status of light and life for the long evolutionary process that is predicated on finite experience and finite experience is something that will be entirely missing as concerns the creatures native to the outer space creation. Page 353, paragraph 7. There's another form of growth that may characterize Orvantan in the earlier epochs of the Third Age. This is lateral growth, growth in relation to other superuniverses. With the removal of the superuniverse boundaries, page 1292, paragraph 10 and 11, it will be possible for the culture of Orvantan to commingle with that of the six other super creations. This is a post-supreme synthesis of the original sevenfold diversity which was imposed by the seven master spirits, page 190, section 5. Nebadon in the Third Age. Our local universe is undoubtedly a typical creation, and our speculations concerning its status in the Third Age would likely apply to any local universe. Concerning Nebadon in the Third Age, we venture the following. The universe, sun, and spirit have departed for outer space. Nebadon is no longer an active creative unit in the cosmos. The creators have departed. Nebadon has become more of an administrative unit, more on the order of the major and the minor sectors. Any new creations would have to come from superuniverse sources or from presently unknown sources. Even so, some creativity would still persist, since Gabriel and the Father Melchizedek do have limited creative power. Page 77, paragraph 7. Page 416, paragraph 3. We speculate that Nebadon would be ruled by a regency commission consisting of Gabriel, the Father Melchizedek, and possibly the Union of Days. The entire administration might take on a Trinitarian aspect, somewhat resembling the superuniverse government. We believe that Michael would continue to carry the title, Sovereign of Nebadon, and that the conjectured regency trio would rule in his name. Can we possibly imagine the kind of reception celebration that Salvington would stage in connection with one of the rare visits of Michael of Nebadon to his old capital? That would be a blowout.
That would be bigger than the 4th of July in
Potsdam. Yes, sir. Teacher sons, evening stars, and phenolophers would have long since departed for outer space. Page 635, paragraph 1. The inspired Trinity spirit that have replaced solitary messengers. Page 634, paragraph 1. If the Midsoniters should receive the conjectured spirit of Ipsanity, page 104, page 401, paragraph 5, then the ministry of God the Ultimate would begin to be directly effective in the local creation. If the Univitatia should attain residential status in Havona, page 222, paragraphs 1 to 4, then what might happen to the other orders of permanent citizens, Susatia, spirit-fused mortals, material sons, and Midsoniters, page 635, paragraph 2. And how about the Spiranga, the Spornagia, page 528, paragraph 7, and the Spiranga, page 416, paragraph 3. We should be careful to remember that at this future time, Nebadon is a post-supreme local universe. The old type of growth through finite experience is a thing of the past. At the same time, a new type of growth has become possible. This is post-finite growth, page 1163, paragraph 2. This type of growth transcends the present limits of status in light and life. Finite experience would still be present in the administrators and others who were of origin in the Second Age, but it would be completely lacking in all natives who are of origin in the Third Age, the age of post-supreme growth. Suppose that death came to an end as a technique for terrestrial escape, so that mortals from the inhabited worlds would translate directly to the estate of first-stage spirits. And it should be noted that some mortals of the present age almost achieve this destiny. Page 570, paragraph 7, paragraph 10. Such a technique of terrestrial escape would eliminate the entire Marantia life as a feature of local universe existence. Page 624, paragraph 3. These mortals, or would they still be called by the name of mortals, could hardly have seraphic guardians because seraphim are no longer being created. The creative spirit is not present in Nebadon. It is possible that all seraphim on duty would be members of the seraphic corps of completion, hence more on the order of seconophim in terms of status and capacity for service. page 441, section 9. The question is raised as to whether the third age mortals, beings with no finite experience, would still be destined to the finality court, page 631, paragraph 7. Would mortals still be adjust or sun and spirit feud? They could still be adjust or feud, but hardly sun or spirit feud. The universe sun is no longer present to endow mortals with his spirit, page 450, paragraph 1. And the creative spirit is also absent, and presumably could not endow such mortals with her spirit, page 450, paragraph 6. Some entirely new order of mortal progression would undoubtedly supersede the methods of the present universe age. The impact of the outer space citizens. As the third age progresses, we visualize the local universes, the super universes, and the central universe as swarming with the in-moving pilgrims from outer space. If our conception of the relative size of the outer space levels is at all reasonable, then this in-pouring torrent of outer spacers will grow larger and larger as progressively larger segments of the outer regions are opened up. At some future time, the outer spacers in the grand universe are going to outnumber the native beings. Still later on, they may outnumber them by very great odds. Section 2, the two trinities in outer space. For the first time in the development of the master universe, there are two trinities in collaboration. We know that the paradise trinity functions on the level of ultimacy, page 113, paragraph 7, and that the first experiential trinity is even now a qualified reality, page 16, paragraph 3. Both trinities are concerned with the ultimate level of total deity function, page 2, paragraph 11. Consider the statements. Page 1291, paragraph 8. The Trinity Ultimate could hardly function until the completion of the Supreme, but it is even now a qualified reality, and the qualified vicegerents of the Ultimate are in existence. Page 1166, paragraph 5. The Paradise Trinity now coordinates ultimate existences, but it does this as a self-qualified absolute. The first experiential Trinity will coordinate transcendentals as a transcendental. Here are two significant differences. The action of the Paradise Trinity is an attenuation of absoluteness. It is also the action of an existential trinity. The action of the Trinity Ultimate is experiential and is not an attenuation of anything. This trinity is an absonite reality, and it is dealing with absonite reality. Now, will the expanding function and the increasing unification of the first experiential trinity be attended by a corresponding withdrawal of the function of the Paradise Trinity? We suspect that this is what will happen, but we really do not know. Section 3, the Supreme in the Inner and the Outer Universes. As we explore the future of the Master Universe, new terms keep cropping up. Terms like the ones in the caption to this section, Inner Universes and Outer Universes. And something similar to this kind of language is quite likely to develop in deep outer space, where the natives will lump all of us together, paradisers, the owners of super universes, as people from the inner universes. In the third and subsequent ages, the Supreme Being will still be functioning in the inner creations and will be expanding to new activities in the outer realms. Page 1268, paragraph 5. The primary function of the Supreme Being is in the central universe, where he operates as a spirit person. His secondary function is in the grand universe, where he acts as the superuniverse sovereign, a person of power. His tertiary function is of master universe scope, and three speculations are offered concerning the future eventuality. One, the tertiary phase of supremacy will have to do with the third level of deity manifestation. Two, the Supreme will expand as a universe sovereign and will be the super almighty in the creations of outer space. Three, he will give expression to some unknown aspect of mind. The mind of supremacy is believed to have a latent destiny of master universe scope. In the second age, both physical and spiritual growth seem to reach a final limit on the mortal inhabited worlds, But the growth of mind appears to be limitless. In the outer space ages, we project a picture of a possible threefold function of the Supreme Being. He is still operating in Avona in the spiritual sense. He is still functioning as the almighty sovereign of the grand universe. And he has developed some new function that spreads out over the entire master universe. What is this function? We may examine the three speculations that are given in the papers. One, the third level of deity manifestation. This statement is difficult to interpret unless it refers to some relationship with God the Absolute. We are informed that God the Absolute is the third level of unifying deity expression and expansion. Such a relationship on the part of the Supreme would seem to involve the ultimate, and which would suggest collaboration in the second, the experiential Trinity. We do not feel that the Trinity of Trinities is involved, since this Trinity seems to be extra master universe in function. Two, the Supreme as super almighty. This would imply an extension of the present function of the Supreme as sovereign of the super universe, as a being of power. Perhaps the Supreme will in some manner be active in the administration of the outer creation. Perhaps this is one of the ways the Supreme will collaborate with the Spirit in outer space. Three, an unknown potential of mind. The third speculation presented in the papers concerns the expression of some latent potential of mind. We are informed as follows concerning Supreme Mind. Page 1264, paragraph 7. It was bestowed by the conjoint actor, and it serves to unify the power of the Almighty with the spirit person of the Supreme. Page 1269, paragraph 3. It is now emerging as an actuality through working with God the Sevenfold in the development of the grand universe. Page 5, paragraph 13. The actualizing Supreme Mind focalizes in Majestan as a time-space experience. In Appendix 12, Section 2, is there a mind aspect to the present function of God the Sevenfold? We raise the question of a possible sevenfold association that may culminate in the actualization of the mind of supremacy. We may be sure that the Supreme Being will be quite active in the four ages of the outer universes. This study ventures the thought that he will be active in all three categories that we have considered, as a collaborator in the third level of deity manifestation, as a sovereign of expanded power, and as an active expression of some new level of mind function or of mind ministry. The Supreme Being himself will benefit from the growth potentials of the post-Supreme Ages. These are the ages when personalities are participating in the Master Universe growth experience of the Ultimate. The Supreme Being would be an active participant in this post-finite growth adventure. Section 4, the Spirit and the Supreme. In Appendix 6, Associations of Dual Deity, we develop what seems to be a principle that governs the assignment of universe administrators. The dual deity associations seem to function out on the creative frontier. As these frontier universes are settled and become inner creations in relation to new outer universes, then the dual deity administrators seem to give way to Trinity origin administrators. Perhaps the dual deity and single origin administrators then move on outward to the new creative frontier in the new outer universes. The Father-Son partnership inaugurates the first age, the age of Avona, then gives way to the Trinity administration of the perfect central creation. The Son-Spirit partnership of the second age will eventually produce 700,000 perfected local universes, and then will give way to the more extensive functioning of the Trinity origin administrators. Page 252, paragraph 5. In the light of this probable principle of universe administration, this shift from dual deity to Trinity, consider this statement. Page 1171, paragraph 5. The original partnership of Father-Son has been transformed to Son-Spirit and has then shifted to Spirit Supreme. If this principle of dual deity action on the creative frontier is valid, then may we look for a new manifestation of such a relationship in the outer universes. this principle of dual deity action on the creative frontier is valid, then may we look for a new manifestation of such a relationship in the outer universe. Will this relationship be between the Supreme and the Infinite Spirit? Are the Master Spirits involved? And how about the Creative Spirits? Some of these relationships are very close, even in the Second Age. Page 100, paragraph 1, and page 1272, paragraph 1. The Infinite Spirit acts in many ways to make up for the incompleteness of the Supreme Being. This closeness is shared by all the Master Spirits, especially by Master Spirit number 7, who speaks for the Supreme. Page 1272, paragraph 4. The Master Spirits support the sovereignty of the Supreme Being and are in turn affected in their actions by his emerging purpose. Page 186, paragraph 2. The Master Spirits distribute the Infinite Spirit to the extra-heaven universes. We find it difficult to visualize the further extension of the collaboration of the Infinite Spirit and the Supreme in outer space. But if the Supreme is active in the outer universes, then we are sure that he will collaborate with the very influential presences of the Master Spirit. There might possibly be some new form of liaison with the creative spirits in outer space, but this is also difficult to visualize. We are, however, quite sure that all of these spirits will be active in the outer universes. Section 5, God the Sevenfold in the Outer Universes. The full discussion of the projected function of God the Sevenfold in outer space is covered in the appendices, Appendix 12, Future Expansion of God the Sevenfold, Appendix 13, Evolution of Universe Suns and Spirits, Appendix 14, Expanding Influence of the Master Spirits. This study submits that God the Sevenfold will be intensely active in the outer creation and will be expanded in scope and function. The universe suns and spirits are visualized as operating on 2 or 3 experiential and functional levels. We further project that the Master Spirits will continue to impart new combinations of their unique sevenfold natures to the environmental coloration of the principal segments of the outer space creation. Section 6, Finaliters and Others in the Outer Creation. Numerous groups of beings besides the Finaliters may be assigned to the work of the administration of the outer universe. Page 365, paragraph 1. A close relationship is developing between Creator Suns, Creative Spirits, Evening Stars, Teacher Suns, and the Finaliters. Deduction. All these beings are going to work together in the universes of outer space. Page 233, paragraph 2. Magisterial Suns, together with Creator Suns and Teacher Suns, function in the vanguard of those beings who serve on the creative perimeter of expanding paradise divinity. Speculation. If death ever ceased on the inhabited worlds, then the magisterial sons would be free to serve in the outer space creation. Page 244, paragraph 6. The Trinity Embrace Suns have been assigned to the Super Universe Administration for the duration of the Second Age, but they've never been told that this is an eternal assignment. Speculation. Will the Mighty Messengers and their colleagues rejoin the Finaliter Corps in the remote future? And there must be many other orders of beings who are destined to find ultimate service destiny in the space levels of the post-Supreme Universes. The Growth of Finaliters. We are informed, page 348, paragraph 4, that Finaliters, who are sixth-stage spirits, have yet to attain finality of growth in 3 ways. First, ultimate spirit status. Second, creature service. And third, attainment of experiential deity. We know that our entire experience of growth in the Second Age has to do with the development of the first 3 of 7 dimensions of personality, and that the next 3 dimensions are now completely dormant, being reserved for absentite growth. Page 1226, paragraph 14. It appears likely that by far the most of our growth will be post-supreme, and that the entire story of mortal ascent to paradise and the finaliter service in the grand universe is, in the larger sense, just the beginning, a sort of kindergarten in relation to the higher and vaster levels of educational attainment that lie beyond the horizons of the present universe age. Finaliters in relation to the Supreme. Our relationship to the Supreme in the third and subsequent ages is going to be a most intimate one. Consider the statement. Page 1182, paragraph 3. When mortals become six-stage spirits, finalities, they transmute some liaison factor of mind which becomes a part of Supreme Mind. Page 1286, paragraph 2. When mortals become seven-stage spirits in the third age, their dual minds, mortal and adjuster, will become triune minds through union with the Supreme Mind of the completed Supreme Being. Page 1286, paragraph 3. Seventh-stage spirit analogies will portray God the Supreme in their experiential nature, just as Jesus portrayed the Universal Father in his final bestowal. If we have such a relationship to the God of finite experience, then we may be able to compensate the outer space creatures for their complete lack of finite experience. Section 7. Cytoplasmic need expands nuclear function. In Chapter 4 of our study, we developed the idea of nuclear and cytoplasmic universes. For purposes of this discussion, it is enough to say that the grand universe is a nuclear universe in relation to the outer space or cytoplasmic universes. In every such relationship, the cytoplasmic creations are missing something that was present in the nucleus. The outer space universes are going to suffer from a complete lack of finite experience. This is the very nature of the evolutionary superuniverse. Consider the statements. Page 343, paragraph 6. Finalities are destined to the service of the Supreme and to the revelation of the Supreme. Page 1280, paragraph 6. They will compensate the outer spacers for their inability to participate in the growth of the Supreme Being. Page 353, paragraph 7. The outer universes will lack the presence of finite experience. This lack of experience in the cytoplasmic outer universes creates the opportunity for enlarged service on the part of all the inhabitants of the grand universe. Grand universers incorporate in their experiential natures the essence of the Supreme Being, and this is the particular factor that is missing from the experience potential of outer space. A similar situation characterizes the second age, the present one, page 353, paragraphs 8 to 10. Superuniverse natives, particularly human beings, are completely devoid of that perfection which is so characteristic of the natives of Avona and Paradise. Our imperfection is a challenge to these perfect beings, beings who were created in that perfection which is our distant goal. Our present need is their enhanced opportunity for service. And in this service, they break through the otherwise impassable barrier to growth that is inherent in created perfection. Evolutionary growth is superimposed on divine perfection. We have observed that each new age enables the inhabitants of the preceding age to rise above the previous limits of growth. Avona adds evolutionary growth to the limitations of eternal perfection in the second age. In the second age, the superuniverses are limited to the status of settlement in light and life, but they will undoubtedly break through to new growth levels in the third age. We're off and running.
Marco, okay. Take it on. Warmed up? Yeah.
Appendix 12. Future expansion of God the Sevenfold. God the Sevenfold began to function when the seven superuniverses were organized. This function will probably expand with the opening up of the outer space levels and the inauguration of the Absonite quest for deity. Page 12, paragraph 4. What meaning should attach to the phrase, will probably expand? Certainly this must mean a functional expansion from the grand universe out into the outer space creation. This is quantitative expansion. Does it also mean qualitative expansion? If the seven levels of God the Sevenfold now provide for the finite approach to deity, will additional levels be required for the absonite approach? Section 1, Present Constitution of God the Sevenfold. God the Sevenfold is presented as functioning in two coordinated phases, Spirit Ministry, page 1270, paragraph 3 to 9, and Physical Control, page 1273, paragraph 7 to 13. These two aspects of sevenfold deity are tabulated below. God the Sevenfold. 1. Universe Sons and Spirits. 2. The Ancients of Days. 3. The Seven Master Spirits. 4. The Supreme Being. 5. The Infinite Spirits. 6. The Eternal Son. 7. The Universal Father. The Sevenfold Controllers. 1. The Master Physical Controllers. 2. The Supreme Power Centers. 3. The Supreme Power Directors. 4. The Almighty Supreme. 5. The God of Action. 6. The Isle of Paradise. 7. The Source of Paradise. This dual relationship of spiritual ministry and a physical control is unified existentially by the Universal Father and by the Conjoined Actor. It is becoming experientially unified in the conjoining of the Almighty and the Supreme by the function of Supreme Mind. It is functionally unified as concerns the grand universe in the close association of the seven master spirits and the seven supreme power directors. Section 2. Is there a mind aspect of God the Sevenfold? The papers tell us on page 1164, paragraph 4, that man's relationship to the Sevenfold is a matter of making contact with the personal and spiritual divinity of God the Sevenfold. We are also informed that there are other aspects of the Sevenfold that are not concerned with our universe progression, and that all of these phases of the Sevenfold are going to be integrated in the Supreme. The Sevenfold Controllers must represent one such non-spiritual phase of the Sevenfold. Is it possible that there is a third phase, a mind phase of the Sevenfold? Consider the following. Page 480, paragraph 6, number 1. The Master Physical Controllers, pre-adjutant mind. Page 481, paragraph 1. Number 2, the adjutant mind spirits, human and midware mind. Page 481, paragraph 2. Number 3, the creative spirits, local universe mind. Page 481, paragraph 3. Number 4, the seven master spirits, the cosmic mind. Page 5, paragraph 13. Number 5, majestan, focal point of factualizing supreme mind. Page 102, paragraph 4. Number 6, the conjoint actor, the source of absolute mind. Page 1181, paragraph 7. Number 7, the father-son, the dual ancestor of the source of mind. The existence or the non-existence of such a mind phase of the sevenfold is not essential to the development of our line of thinking. We suggest, however, that it is a very possible relationship. Section 3, the expanding function of the Supreme Creator. There's no question about the expansion of God the Sevenfold in outer space. The three paradise deities are just as much concerned with the outer space universes as with Avona and the super universes. God the Supreme will be functioning as the experiential ruler of the grand universe in a certain tertiary capacity in the master universe, and as a member of the First Experiential Trinity. We are also informed, on page 642, paragraph 6, that the progressive settling of the superuniverses in light and life is attended by a withdrawal of the activities of the Supreme Creator in association with an expansion of the activities of the Supreme Being. Now, if the Supreme Creators are progressively withdrawing from the affairs of the present age, this strongly suggests that their ministry will expand in the affairs of the outer space universes in the next universe age. The Master Spirits. When the perfected super universes are united under the future administration of God the Supreme, the Master Spirits will continue to be located in the grand universe. Page 12, paragraph 3. This does not, however, mean that they could not act in outer space. We may deduce that they are concerned with those segments of outer space that are correlated with our present spheres of superuniverse jurisdiction, page 184, paragraph 7. The Supreme Being may administer the grand universe either with or without the collaboration of the Master Spirits, page 643, paragraph 4. In any event, The collective attributes of the master spirits are supreme, ultimate, and supreme ultimate. Page 186, paragraph 3. Therefore, they will have full capacity to function throughout all of the growth stages of the master creation. The ancients of days. We are informed that in the next universe age, the ancients of days will continue on as super universe administrators. Page 12, paragraph 3. But may be superseded in sovereignty by the supreme being. In this event, they would function as his vicegerents. Page 1292, paragraphs 9 to 11. It does not appear likely that these Trinity origin rulers of the super creations will be directly concerned with the affairs of outer space. The universe suns and spirits. The dual creators of the local universes are concerned with the supreme in the mobilization of all finite resources for the absonite adventure. Page 12, paragraph 3. It appears most likely that the universe suns and spirits are destined to outer space. It appears equally likely that there will be more than one kind of creator sun and creative spirit in outer space. We advance the theory that there will be three kinds of suns and spirits who will be commissioned in the outer universes. Consider it the following line of reasoning. A. Sun-spirit creative trios. These are the beings who have been or will be commissioned as the creators of the local universes of the present age. In the third age, we believe they will have trinitized a third being, a creative associate. B. Mixed age creator sons and spirits. These are the beings who are created or who will be created in the second age, but who will not be commissioned for function until the third age. C. Third age sons and spirits. These beings will be created and will be commissioned for service in the next universe age. This is further developed in Appendix 13, The Evolution of Universe Sons and Spirits. We have the belief that the junior sons and spirits will be assigned for universe service under the jurisdiction of their seniors who have had experience as creators or as pre-creators in the second age. Section 4. Will the sevenfold become tenfold in outer space? In Appendix 15, note is made of the possible significance of the number 10 in relation to the functions of the Supreme Being. We believe that God the sevenfold may possibly become tenfold in the expanded service of the outer space creation. Certainly, the absonite approach to the Universal Father is going to include some features that are not presently encountered in the finite approach. Consider, then, a possible tenfold structure of that which is now sevenfold. God the tenfold. 1. Third age sons and spirits. 2. Mixed age sons and spirits. 3. Sun-spirit creative trios. 4. The ancients of days. 5. The seven master spirits. 6. The completed supreme being. 7. The eventuating ultimate. 8. The infinite spirit. 9. The eternal son. 10. The universal father. Consider the tenfold controllers. 1. The master physical controllers. 2. The supreme power centers. 3. The supreme power directors. 4. Associate force organizers. 5. Primary force organizers. 6. The completed supreme being. 7. The ultimate as omnipotent. 8. The god of action. 9. The isle of paradise. 10. The source of paradise. In the parallel comparison of God the sevenfold with the sevenfold controllers, we could see that the relationship between them was not fully unified from an experiential standpoint. This would not be the case in our visualization of a possible tenfold deity. Here we find full experiential unification in the presence of the completed supreme being. Such unification would not extend to the absonite level, since the ultimate is incomplete in growth. The ultimate as omnipotent, page 1297, paragraph 1, must sustain a relationship to God the ultimate that is analogous to the present growing relationship of the Almighty Supreme to God the Supreme. Association of force organizers and power directors. There is warrant in the papers for the projected association of force organizers and power directors. We know that friend lengths are created by both orders, page 328, paragraph 6, and that the master physical controllers are distributed in a super universe by its Council of Equilibrium, and this council is made up of associate force organizers, page 324, paragraph 5. Don't turn it off. Shall I read on?
Okay.
Appendix 13, Evolution of Universe Suns and Spirits. This one's interesting. Is the purpose of this appendix to bring together what the papers have to say about creator suns and creative spirits. We will pay particular attention to the nature of these creators and to their growth in the experiential creations, and will give careful consideration to their destiny in the outer space universes, particularly the creations of the first outer space level. Section 1, the nature of the universe suns and spirits. When the Universal Father and the Eternal Son unite in their infinite and universal sense, they produce their deity equal, the Infinite Spirit. When the Father and the Son continue to explore the sub-infinite and sub-universal consequences of their union, they bring into being the Order of Michael, the Creator Son, page 88, paragraph 1. These Michael sons are spoken of as being potentially equal to the Universal Father and the Eternal Son in creative power of a coordinate nature. Same reference. They are limited in function only by the pre-existent forces and agencies of paradise, and in sovereignty only by the limits of that which they have brought into being, page 88, paragraph 2. On sub-infinite levels, these creator sons would appear to be an extension of the original creativity of the paradise father-son. They fully express the divinity of God and share phases of the absoluteness of God, page 59, paragraph 1. They are the absolutes of the father-son concept which brought them into being, page 242, paragraph 6. In the present universe age, their function is finite, but the paper speculates that the potential of function may be superfinite, page 242, paragraph 2 and 3, and that service in the outer space universes may witness the sometime service of the Creator Son and their associated creative spirits on superfinite levels of operation, page 242, paragraph 3. When a Creator Son is brought into being by the Paradise Father and Son, the Infinite Spirit simultaneously responds with the differentiation within himself of what is to become the spirit complement of the Creator Son, page 203, paragraph 7. We would suggest this complemental spirit must have the full capacity to grow along with the associated Creator Son, since the Infinite Spirit is possessed of unlimited capacity to respond to creative acts on the part of the Father-Son. In other words, a universe spirit is the full complement of the associated universe Son. Her growth potential is the complemental equal of his. Time-space status. Neither the universe Son nor spirit are completely independent of time and space. A creative spirit becomes space cognizant in the second stage of her development, page 203, paragraph 8. In so doing, she is achieving that awareness which enables her to recognize a bounded space arena as her own, an arena wherein she would be unlimited by space and outside of which she would be limited by space, page 377, paragraph 5. The entire space of our local universe is pervaded by the presence of the creative spirit, but she is not thus present outside of Nebadon, page 455, paragraph 1. A creative spirit is not able to function independently of time, page 376, paragraph 7. In contrast to this, a creator son is not ordinarily limited by time, although he is limited by space, page 377, paragraph 2. In the present age, the universe sons and spirits so collaborate that each makes available to the other the relative liberation from time and space, page 377, paragraph 3. We venture to speculate that any future union of a trinitizing nature on the part of the universe, Son, and Spirit will result in the appearance of a creative trio, that will be fully cognizant of time and space, but that can function in transcendence of both, at least within a circumscribed realm. Such transcendence of time and space appears to be essential to possible function on the absonite level of activity. Section 2. The numbers of universe suns and spirits. Whatever we may learn about the numbers of creator suns, we may be sure that the same data will apply to the numbers of creative spirits, because a creative spirit is produced every time a creator sun appears. Page 203, paragraph 7. This being the case, what then do we know about the present numbers of the creator suns? The papers make two references to such numbers. Page 235, paragraph 4. There are more than 700,000. Page 1299, paragraph 5. Mention is made of well nigh a million. We may accordingly assume that there are already in existence more creator suns and creative spirits than can be accommodated for the present plan concerning the number of local universes in the seven superuniverses. This is indicated by the following data from the papers. Page 167, paragraph 1, paragraph 5. The plan for universe organization provides for 700,000 local universes. Page 235, paragraph 4. The plan also provided that one union of days be stationed in each local universe. There are exactly 700,000 unions of days, and no more are being created. Page 268, paragraph 5. The plan further provides that an associate inspector be stationed at the capital of each local universe. There are 700,000 of these beings in existence. Page 269, paragraph 1. The plan also provides that an assigned sentinel be in residence on each local system. Since each local universe has 10,000 systems, this means 700,000 times 10,000, a total of 7 billion systems in all. There are just 7 billion assigned sentinels in existence. Deduction. There will be 700 local universes in the 7 superuniverses. This is an exact number. Page 235, paragraph 4. The number of creator suns is constantly increasing. The future destiny of the creator suns and creative spirits in excess of 700,000 is not known. Conclusion. The excess must be destined to have initial creator experience in outer space. These citations strongly suggest that not all creator suns and creative spirits are going to have a chance to serve as creators of local universes in the present universe age. It must logically follow that many will have their first experience in universe-making in the outer space creation. This study presents the concept that there will be more than one kind of sun and spirit functioning in the third age. We submit that the creative activities of the first outer space level will in part be carried on by three different kinds of universe suns and spirits: sun-spirit creative trios, mixed-age suns and spirits, and third-age suns and spirits. Section 3. Sun-spirit creative trios. The sun-spirit creative trios, which we project as destined to function in the primary space level, should number exactly 700,000. These are the creator suns and the creative spirits who have organized and perfected the 700,000 local universes of the present universe age. We refer to them as trios rather than duos, because we believe that each sun and spirit pair will be augmented by a third being, their trinitized offspring. Such creative trios include those master micules and those seventh-stage creative spirits who have fully participated as creators in the evolutionary growth of the Supreme Being. They have acquired and they embody the fullness of the experiential potential of supremacy. And this must mean that they can express this experiential potential in their acts of creation and trinitization. Let us examine the natures of these suns and spirits and consider the consequences of their trinitizing union. Master micules. These are the creators whose innate paradise divinity has been augmented by the experiential acquisition of the divinity of evolutionary supremacy in time and space. They have earned by actual experience the full sovereignty of their local universes, from the first stage of initial vice-chairant sovereignty to the sixth stage of Trinitarian sovereignty, rulership of a local universe that is settled in light and life. Page 237, paragraphs 8 and 9, page 238, paragraphs 1 to 4. We here speculate that the unrevealed seventh stage of sovereignty, page 238, paragraph 5, will witness a delegation of rulership by a creator son when he departs his local universe for the new adventure of outer space. We speculate that the recipients of this delegated sovereignty would be Gabriel, the father Melchizedek, and the union of days. In addition to this earning of sovereignty, the Master Michaels have explored seven levels of descending creature experience in association with a portrayal of one of the seven phases of the will of deity, and have liberated their potential for absonite function. Page 1318, paragraphs 3 and 6. These Master Michaels have eternally identified themselves with the Supreme Being. Page 1318, paragraph 7. Such a Master Michael is, in experiential status, vastly more than a creator son who has had no experience in the organizing and perfecting of a local universe. He's not more divine, but experientially, he's a great deal more. Seventh stage creative spirits. These are the creative spirits of the unrevealed career. Page 203, paragraph 5. Such universe spirits have experienced a long evolutionary growth from the times of initial differentiation, which is their first stage of development, page 203, paragraph 7. They have passed through their preliminary creatorship training, have departed from paradise, and have collaborated with the associate creator son in the physical organization of a local universe. Page 203, paragraph 7 and 8, page 204, paragraph 1. They have personalized in the likeness of the supervising master spirit at the time of the creation of life in the local universe. Page 374, paragraph 4. They have become even more personal as a result of the bestowals of the associated son, and have entered upon the sixth stage of existence when the local universe has become settled in light and life. Page 203, paragraph 3 and 4. We believe that the seventh stage of the development of a creative spirit is one in which she becomes completely personal, and during which she leaves her local universe with the associated creator son for the outer space adventure. Two different kinds of experiential growth. Creator sons and creative spirits both grow experientially, but the nature of the growth of each appears to be so very different that one might be thought of as existing at right angles to the other. A creator son is a person from the very beginning. A creative spirit probably becomes a complete person only at the end of the present age. Page 106, paragraph 10. A creator son traverses the vertical experience from being one in divinity with God to becoming one in nature with man. A creative spirit traverses the horizontal experience of starting out as an impersonal, pre-personal, focalization of the infinite spirit, and of eventually achieving a bona fide personality in the likeness of one of the master spirits. It would appear that these two kinds of growth are complementary. The kind of growth experience which inherent nature denies to the one is the very kind of experience that characterizes the growth of the other. It would accordingly seem likely that the two kinds of growth, when taken together, would tend to encompass the whole gamut of possible growth within the limits of the present universe age. If this is true, then it would follow that such universe sons and spirits would have acquired experiential capacity to give creative and trinitizing expression to the fullness of such acquired attributes, in addition to their original endowment of paradise divinity. Creation versus trinitization. Back in the early days of the evolution of the local universe, the associated sun and spirit unite in a creative manner to give expression to their original ideal of personality and concept of identity. Page 639, paragraph 4. The result of this creative act is Gabriel, the chief executive of the local universe. Now, let us analyze this transaction to see just what took place. A. This is a total creative act. In some manner, it exhausts certain potentials. There can be only one Gabriel in a local universe. Page 369, paragraph 5. But this is still not a trinitizing act, not a trinitizing union. The two creators do not become united, as would be the case in a trinitizing union. B. The two creators are limited in their experiential growth. They have little more than begun their time-space adventure. The creator son is a pre-bestowal son, who has just started to function in the second stage of universe sovereignty, conjoint vice-chair sovereignty. Page 237, paragraph 9. The creative spirit is in the fourth stage of existence. Page 204, paragraph 2. C. The being thus produced, Gabriel, is fully expressive of the total creative potential that could be mobilized for the two creatures as they then existed in their respective stages of experiential growth. What will happen in the third age when a Master Michael unites with the seventh stage spirit in an act that is a trinitizing union? There is a great difference between a creative act and a trinitizing union, a union that gives expression to a third being who is equal to the trinitizing parent. The Paradise Father and Son can create an unlimited number of subordinate beings, beings who partake of their divinity, but who do not share their universality and infinity. They can likewise trinitize an unlimited number of subordinate beings, but the Universal Father and the Eternal Son could produce only one deity equal, the Infinite Spirit. And when they did, they became forever united as the Father-Son. Page 249, paragraph 4. A creator son and a creative spirit likewise can produce many beings of subordinate status. We submit, however, that an act of trinitization on their part would result in the appearance of a third being of coordinate status and their union as son-spirit. Nature of the third being of a trio. What would be the nature of this third being, this third member of a son-spirit creative trio? We have already deduced that he would be the coordinate of the parental universe, son and spirit. If he is a coordinate being, then he would possess creator prerogatives. The paper suggests that his attributes might be of an ultimate nature. Page 643, paragraph 2. If we go back to the relationship of the Infinite Spirit to the Universal Father and the Eternal Son, we may obtain further clues. In relation to the Paradise Father and Son, the conjoined actor is spoken of as being provisionally subject to the ancestral deity, but as having the greatest potential and latitude for action. Page 100, paragraph 2. This third being of a creative trio will also be something more than the predictable sum of the attributes of the trinitizing parents. Some of the attributes of the conjoined actor are not observably present in either of the ancestral deities. Page 99, paragraph 2. And again, the conjoined actor is spoken of as super additive to the union of the Father and Son. Page 110, paragraph 4. These third beings have also been portrayed as a new expression of ultimate deity. They could be ultimate in nature because they would express all the horizontal growth of a creative spirit and all the vertical growth of a creator son. Page 1304, paragraph 1. All in all, we may deduce that such a postulated third being will be something different from and more than the predictive consequences of a trinitizing union of a creator son and a creative spirit, because there are just seven basic types of creative spirits. If we may adapt the terminology used to describe the reflective spirits, page 275, paragraph 2, then we can say that first order creative spirits are those from Super Universe number one, because their personal natures are all like that of Master Spirit number one, and so on to seventh order creative spirits, who all hail from Avantan, and who are in nature like Master Spirit number seven, page 375, paragraph 3. We accordingly deduce that there will be 100,000 first order creative trios, and an equal number of each of the other six orders. In a certain sense, this appearance of seven orders of creative trios constitutes an extinction of the influence of the seven master spirits in outer space. Section 4. Mixed age, creator sons, and creative spirits. We've come now to a consideration of those universe sons and spirits whose origin is in the second, present age, but whose creative function is deferred to the third age. Such beings could participate in the evolutionary growth of the Supreme in the present age, but only within certain limits and not as creators. The creative adventure for such universe sons and spirits will take place after the close of the present age. This means that it will take place after the completion of the evolutionary growth of the Supreme. When such beings finally function and grow as creators, it will be in post-supreme ages of the outer space universes, and their growth as creators will be post-supreme in nature. Mixed age creator sons. Some of these sons are even now in existence, and more of them are being created all the time. How many such sons there will be at the end of the present age is a matter of conjecture, but it might be a rather large number. Now, these sons are not inactive during the time of waiting for assignment to the creative adventure. They undergo educational training in Havona, page 162, paragraph 2. They are active in relation to the ascending and descending pilgrims in Havona. The fourth Havona circuit contains seven worlds, on which the reserve Michaels maintain special schools of ministry to both groups of pilgrims, page 293, paragraph 6. While the creator sons regard Sonarington as their statosphere in the present age, page 148, paragraph 5, they also maintain certain secret colleges on Vice Charrington, page 250, paragraph 5. These citations all seem to indicate that a Michael receives a rich experiential training before being commissioned as a universe organizer, page 203, paragraph 8. And all of this would seem to indicate that those Michaels who will function as creators in the next age are also undergoing an intensive training in relation to the problems and transactions of the present age. And if they are in training at the present time, then they are personally participating in the growth of the Supreme Being, but they are participating in this growth as pre-creators, not as creators.
Well, how do you see the next age?
Born in the second age, but being commissioned in the third age, the next universe.
Yeah. You know, I understand you to say, Bill, that there are some already in the creator son in
yes.
function here.
There are too many creator sons right now to be accommodated by the present blueprint for the super universe. There's almost a million of them. There's only room for 700,000. Second stage creative spirits. These are the creative spirits who have differentiated from the infinite spirit in the present age, but who have not been assigned to local universe space sites. Such beings are limited to the second stage of development, page 203, paragraph 8. They cannot enter the third stage until they participate in the physical organization of a universe in association with a complemental Michael. Such second stage spirits are space cognizant, and they have begun preliminary training for working with the associated Michael, page 203, paragraph 8. Apparently, this training takes place in Havona, under the direction of the circuit spirits. This training is pre-personal, page 162, paragraph 7. It is to be especially noted that all of this training is pre-personal. A universe spirit, like the infinite spirit, achieves the full status of personality concurrently with the appearance of the universe concerned, a local universe in the case of a creative spirit, the central universe in the case of the infinite spirit.